internet radio coming on your mobile device. I don't know the regulatory issues, how it's going to happen and this thing. That is something which will cause explosive growth. The second one is using Skype or using Yahoo and, you know, reducing my mobile bills when I'm talking abroad, when I'm looking to do international roaming. So it makes, that's going to be bring in a lot of growth. So I agree to the, you know, the telecom provider losing revenue, but these are two big kickers which would be as big as email or, you know, whatever else you're doing on the mobile device.
There's one basic assumption that it's kind of an assumption that's stated in the entire thing that I would challenge a little bit. The assumption is that the preferred mode of accessing your mobile internet is through a phone which has 12 P's. And I would challenge that.
So a phone that has got
12 P's, you know, which is all the phones that we have. There's somebody from Palm here, and one of the things that I really believe is that one of my companies acquired this computer company, right? So one of the things we are hard at working is to build a better handset that works for this particular device.
Yeah.
I really believe that a lot of the mobile, whatever you want to call it, internet access, is going to happen with somebody who has a full QWERTY keyboard on the phone. And once you have the QWERTY keyboard, I see no reason for snacking type behavior, especially if you have flat fee type systems out there, all right, in terms of access. So I think the snacky behavior is probably an issue of the fact that we have strict, you know, very stricted access because we are using 12 P's as opposed to the regular 86 or 48, whatever keyboard that we are using for your QWERTY access. Okay, so I think a big leap has to come from the hardware side. I know in a smaller one of my companies is trying to do something itself in terms of probably building India's first hardware for the mobile phone. I think Palm has probably a lot to say with the success of the 700. But that's really where I think the key goes.
If you snack, I agree with you, and I will confess that there's a point that I missed or it goes like this. The snacky behavior, but I disagree with the following point. The snacky behavior on handsets happens because of the nature of the way we are as early customers. So we have access to other devices, we have access to other access points. And when we are either bored or have nothing else to do or have time to kill, then either we are doing something with the handsets, playing with it, or trying not to feel alone or staying a little connected to snacking customers. But for a whole batch of other customers who will have that as a primary mode of access rather than a secondary mode of access, it's the nature of interaction with the device. It may not be snacking, it may actually end up being spending considerable time on it. So a full QWERTY keyboard would mean a larger handheld piece, would mean a Motorola MQ kind of size.
Or even a hologram based where you're doing
This is a full QWERTY keyboard.
So I'm saying this is, I have my two sets of customers. One is a set of customers which is has access to devices that are larger screens and QWERTY keyboards, PDA kind of devices, Windows mobile defined platforms. And then I'm still imagining a 90% base of customers who does not have access to that for some time, till such time that those devices manage to make themselves available at a price point that is accessible.
I think your presentation, you mentioned late subtly, but I've heard already thinking about it. You mentioned in the passive reference about the display part. I think maybe 10 years down the line, we can think about the mobile device as the device that talks to some towers or cell site. And the display could be, as you said, on a fabric, on a table, on a screen, something like that. And it's sort of like little sci-fi kind of stuff here. But I think there is a light step, you know, something hotter than effect with experiments or something like that. Like right now we have projectors, but the display is on the wall. So maybe we can have mobile devices and the display could be on the wall, on my palm.
Right?
On
the back seat of the car.
Or into your glasses, right?
Yeah, that would be the ideal thing. You plug it in, you have everything.
And that would solve a lot of things
that you can
have on the display part, the user experience.
Okay, I have some thoughts to share, although I'll just pick up some of the threads what Pankaj said. Let me give you an analogy. We had these movies, and these movies were exhibited in theaters, and then came television.
Sure.
Now, television is not replicating everything which was shown only on theatrical exhibition movies. We had Salzburg's operas, we had news, and we had whole bouquet of entertainment which was available on television, which was not shown on the theater. Now mobile internet, I think it's going to be something like that. Now a lot of people, we come from a PC background because we have used mail, we have used search, so we said, okay, we did this on PC, so can I replicate that experience on mobile? Not necessarily. lot of people will challenge this, my thought, but I would say what Arvind is doing through voice, why don't we say that because there's going to be a lot of people has said about to access mobile first and rather than PC, I call up a number and I say, hey, look, I'm looking for a restaurant. How is it going to work? I do not know. But automatically the reply comes back and says, okay, you're looking for this restaurant and this restaurant is available at such and such place. Now, here I'm talking about mobile internet from a voice perspective. It would be a totally different paradigm, no doubt about it, because we all are used to logging onto a PC, keying something in the Google and getting the answer, refining our search. But when I'm talking about mobile entertainment on a very, very larger perspective, what I'm looking for, I'm looking for certain services. So I just call up a number, it could be through WAP, it could be through SMS, it could be through voice also. So in that context, the definition of mobile entertainment gets enlarged. And secondly, this is my personal view again, mobile is more of an entertainment device rather than an information device. PC has been more on an information front where you had mail, you had messaging, you had search now happening. But if you look at mobile, what's happening? Even today, the major portion of the revenues for everyone is coming from entertainment, whether it is Java games, whether it is wallpapers, or whether it is CRBT for that matter. It's more an entertainment centric at this point of time. So from that context, even the fact that mobile is more of an entertainment device at this point of time, and the fact that a lot of people may not be having data capabilities, as someone rightly said, there are more than 20 million handsets which are GPRS capable, but there are less than 2 million customers who are accessing GPRS on a regular basis. So I would rather say maybe a voice is a medium for accessing the whole world of internet, and if I want to do it through CHTML, maybe there has to be some technology which can facilitate through voice accessing the whole world of internet.
So I think very good points, Krishna. The last point that you raised about, you know, 20 million versus 2 million enabled and capable versus enabled. And see, one of the factors that has been inhibiting and has the reason is that you have to go through a process of enabling. That is why probably on CDMA, there are more instances of usage. The usage of data is higher because, you know, Reliance has captured it very well, but on the bow. You know, that's the situation to access data on CDMA. But on GPR, on GSM, it's, you know, it's a difficult job to access. First, you have to get enabled, then you have to get settings, then you have to get settings for your phone, then you have to know where to go, which content. So it's a difficult process in getting it done on GSM. But on CDMA, so that is also one of the factors why there is a lack of data uptake on GSM side.
Sorry, I just add to what you have
yes.
said. Recently, we had hired one of the companies from Buna, and they do a lot of work for Nokia in terms of how people figure out the usage on the handset. Now, what this company did was that they gave all these high-end handsets to people around, and they said, come on, use it now. Now, if you look at the traditional handset, maybe about 2 years ago, a lot of handsets in the market are basically two keys. One key to take the call, another key to end the call. But in the all the high-end handsets that we use today, there are almost four keys, and there is some cursor in between. Now, a lot of people couldn't even figure out. And the whole objective of why Nokia wanted to do this kind of survey was that they were saying that in the next 6 to 12 months time, all these high-end handsets, I'm coming predominantly, sorry, coming from a GSM world, all these high-end handsets, which are in, say, 10 to 15K range, is going to come in around, say, 7 to 8K range or 9K range. So they wanted to really understand, once these handset prices drop, how people are going to use these handsets. And it was very, very shocking revelation that people couldn't even figure out how to use this high-end handset, number one. Number two, it will shock a lot of us to really know that the images which are there in the handset, actually, say for example, messages, although human eye can read something called messages, people took that as a graphic. And they would scroll it down and took that as an image, and not a message, but the context point of view. They would go there and see, read not C-O-N-T-A-C-T, but they deciphered it from a graphic perspective, and then use the handset. So it's just not a GPRS. For example, today if my GPRS settings goes for a talk, I cannot do it unless and until I go to an operator's website. So number one is the challenge is the how to use the high-end handset, and number two, of course, is the GPRS setting, which is the second challenge rather. The first challenge is going to be the how to use the high-end handset for that matter.
I counter to that when we launched off services like games on handsets, which are closer handsets, in a way you can barely see the screens, that tiny a thing. We always had this consideration that the nature of customer who is buying it, which is some 3,000 rupee kind of a guy, would never be able to actually play out the games. So we never thought that it will have it. Not that we can't play the games, but we actually can't access the game because in the boot system, the way that Qualcomm is set up, you got to go to catalog, you got to find the game, you got to download, you got to figure all that out without having any instructions at all. It's not a WAP-like experience at all. And you actually get a PhD if you can figure out how to do it. You should see how many games download people have managed to do. It's stunning. And after you set up, you pop it around to the lowest end handset, presumably to Indian. And there's a really, really low-end customer who is now coming in this non-stop mobile kind of schemes. You'd be stunned by how many games downloads they're getting from the bottom and upwards. So I kind of figure the customers are far more intelligent than they end up doing it.
Imagine if you're a 15-year-old, it would be that much.
Also optimistic. No matter what you say, you look at it, a QWERTY keyboard is always more complex than a mobile phone.
Yeah.
So I mean, people can learn to use keyboards. I think, you know, mobile is not that much.
I think
that's the
wider
that
you can take. Some
is
much. Yeah, it's, yeah, one person teaching 10, you know.
It happens
overnight.
Also, one of the
issue that nobody addressed here is the issue of business models. You see why Docomo took off with iMode. A lot of it had to do with the fact that they gave back 91% to the content providers. Right? And I haven't seen that happen
That's a myth, but it's not true.
Well, they kept the air time.
Exactly.
The value of the content they gave up.
Exactly.
Right. So, my point being that the second example I'll give is look at when the internet exploded as well. It really happened with AOL providing a lot of content, which was bundled into the surface. Or when a site like Yahoo came out and everything was free to the end user. In India, if you look at Reliance Arrow, which is probably one example of our success in mobile internet, once again, it was free to the end user. So I'm not saying that it should be free, but there's this whole ad-supported model that has worked in the regular internet. Is that something that is going to trigger the explosion here?
I don't believe, you know, it's just a matter of time, and it may not be the best situation to target anymore, but all of us users will start disintermediating all of the operators. It will happen, you know. So one of the key things that we're putting in this computer thing is a voice over IP because we believe customers want it. Yeah, operators will hate it.
I just
to actually encourage and add.
Yeah, it's not yeah, supported
and
be around it
and
be
a part of
be out of the game.
An issue with the games again, I mean, I was on the board of India Games and one of the key issues has always been operators saying, well, you know, we decide how much money you want.
Correct.
So there is no option but to sit back and
same
say that if I was to launch an entertainment company, I'm going to go out, do it outside and keep as much of the revenue myself as possible.
Not if India Games said, I'm going to make it free. So there's no revenue sharing with the operator, but I'm going to embed ads inside my games.
I don't think it's an issue at all. I don't think it's an issue.
That's how it's going to be. Most of the ideas will get dropped because you know the operator is looking for SMSs. The operator is taking everything. So you know, many companies will not even get into the SMS.
Yeah,
I think they're subsidizing the normal thing and making it available to the lowest common denominator, but you know, I mean the guys who are providing the content don't get anything.
It's
negligible.
So before we
cut
off
with
that, we don't get anything.
that was supposed to come. You know, that's a pet. Pet
you should.
Why are we not getting more?
But this is all advertising, so it's not to say that we're not looking at advertising. We are, but not as a way of overcoming disintermediation, which we think will happen. But more as just another revenue model into which a customer is accessing the space. So it is advertising revenues to be made. People pay us directly for giving access to customers on SMS, which is the direct mail methodology, which gives response levels that are far higher than direct mail. It is likely that advertising on phone devices, through applications, through app links, or otherwise, with a clickable or an event-based thing that they can react to, would work as well as SMS in that department. We're in the process of building it. My question is really, when we say we're in the process of building it, it actually means at the end of it, somebody has to manage the database of advertising. The feeding of that database is under the management of the MIS.
So you turn yourself into a media sales company.
I'm saying I would be partnering with somebody who would be a media sales company.
Sure, but like Google and often.
Or Google equivalent, AdWords equivalent.
So I
took. You pointed out, you told me someone who has who's going to control
that customer. You know, who wants to have the full rights over that customer? But the content provider
is actually more interesting. Who controls the advertiser?
Yeah, exactly. I think the war here also is who controls the advertiser.
If you're moving to a model that's saying, well, the consumer gets content free, then the value goes to who controls the advertiser. I mean, Google is a perfect example. I mean, it's $7 billion worth of advertising.
Who controls the advertiser?
Who controls the advertising budget? Who gets the budget?
Yeah, who makes up the price?
Who gets the budget, right? So it is really that.
Because one of the people who would get the budget would be the equivalent of what we have in the media space, would be people who actually take the 2%. And at the next level in the value chain are also the people who would control delivery of that. So on one hand are the people who go and acquire and aggregate the advertising from various operators in the WPFX space and manage to then make it available for serving. But who actually manages to serve it out? Because if you look at the places on which it needs to get served out, it will get served out on websites, on websites, it will also get served out.